Lord, we just want to thank you tonight that we can bring the people of Nepal, God, and of Bhutan and North India and the Naga people and wherever you're busy moving, God. We thank you that we can send a team there. We thank you for Sias and all the other guys and Jacobus, Lord, that are on the team. We thank you that we can just lift them up to you, God. We pray for this week, Lord, the last few days there. And we thank you for divine appointments, God. We thank you for inspiration and impartation to the pastors there, Lord, that you would really equip and raise up many leaders, Lord, to take the gospel to the unreached people, God. In Jesus' name, we thank you tonight that we can also know that you've called us, God, to pray. Even though we can't go, Lord, we thank you that we're sowing seeds, God. And we know you hear our prayers this evening, God, because we do it out of faith, God. We do it believing that you are able to change situations, change lives, touch lives. Tonight, we thank you, God, that you truly are moved, God, by our hearts for the nations. And we thank you that we can always have a heart for the nations. And tonight, we bless you, God. We bless the team. We pray favor. We pray protection. We pray, Lord, your hand and your anointing upon them to break yokes, Lord, and to bring the good news, Lord, of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says, amen. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Reading from verse 15 to 19. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15 to 19. If you're visiting us for the first time, welcome. Busy just with a series called Growing Up. So this is the second one. So let's just read together what Paul writes to the Ephesians. He said, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So Paul writes to the Ephesians here, and he writes and prays for them. He says, I'm praying for you that you may grow up. That's basically what he's praying. He says, I've heard of your faith in Jesus. I've heard of your love for the saints. I've heard that you've started this journey, but there's so much more for you. And I'm praying for you that your eyes start to open up and that you may be enlightened in your heart and in your understanding, that you may know a few things. And the first thing he says, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. The second thing he says, and that's what we'll focus on tonight, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Another translation says, the glorious riches of his inheritance. Amen. God has an inheritance for each one of us. Amen. And I believe that the Lord just given me this word, and I really believe that all of us, and God is challenging me to grow deeper and to go deeper and to grow up in him. Amen. Because, you know, we can so easily get comfortable and you know, there's a balance that we must get right here. There's a contentment that we must have. And I'm not saying we must be discontent. There's a contentment that we must have in Christ. But then there's also this place where we desire more. Where we desire to grow in Christ. Amen. Because there's a place of contentment, but then there's also a place of stagnation, which we never want to get to. We never want to be stagnant and be too content in the fact that, you know, let's just get settled here and get comfortable and let's, you know, actually go backwards because we're not going forwards. And as the word came earlier, you know, it's a spirit that takes us. The river takes us and we grow and we see more of the Bible. We see more of Jesus. Amen. And that's what he wants us as a church and us as individuals to grow to this place of maturity, to grow to this place of seeing more of him. And it talks about the eyes of our understanding needing to be enlightened. I've been wearing contact lenses now for 20 years, okay? It's my 20-year reunion for contact lenses, okay? When I was 18 years old, I discovered that something wasn't right with my eyes, okay? The optometrist told me, he said, how did you play sport and how did you judge distance, because my one eye was so bad and I used to close my eye and I used to think, why? Which is actually this eye I used to close and this eye I couldn't see that We Won't Be Afraid shofar banner there, the Bible school. I couldn't read it, but with both eyes open I could obviously see, because what happened was this eye compensated so much, the left hand eye, because my right hand eye was bad. But I was so scared of wearing glasses at school. So when the you know, the inspectors or who those people that used to come and test your eyes and your health and everything, I used to look through my fingers like this, you know, with my good eye. When I closed my good eye, I would look through because I was so scared that the nurse would tell me, you know, it's time for you to wear glasses. So I went through my school career. And no wonder I used to always get out bowled or LBW in cricket because I couldn't judge the ball, you know. So that's when I went to running. You know, running's easy. You don't need to see so well for running and so on. But ball sports I loved, but, you know, I was never good at it. And I guess now I know why. So praise the Lord for contact lenses. Praise the Lord for my eyes to be open to see the fullness of the world, you know. Awesome stuff. Guess that's why I didn't meet my wife at school. I didn't quite see properly. But anyway. But the Lord is saying here to us, and Paul is saying, and he's saying, it's time for our eyes to start to open. We've got to trust the Lord to open our eyes more and more for the fullness of His riches. Amen. The fullness of His glory in our lives, the fullness of the inheritance that He has for us. And I want to look at a few things this evening, but the Lord reminded me of a story. When I got spirit filled and I came into Shofar, we were in a cell group and we were praying for more people to get saved. And these two guys got radically saved in our small group. Or that they came to our small group. They didn't get saved in our small group, but they got saved in one of the reses and they were on fire for the Lord. And this one guy, his name is Vessel. He actually comes from Bloemfontein. I think he was at school, yeah. But he was like a radical. He got radically saved, and he brought his other buddy, and he got saved, and it was just so awesome. This like mini revival that happened in these guys' lives, and I like experienced the revival as well. I thought it's so awesome, guys getting saved, and it's amazing. But this one guy, he was in class with this other guy who was in Shofar for all his, you know, all the 4 years of his engineering career, because he was an engineer, and he got saved at the end of his career, or end of his studies. And he says to this one guy, and he was like in Shofar, but he was a bit of a quiet guy, but he said to this one guy, he says, "Hoe kom het jy nie vir my vertel van die Heilige Gees nie, man? You know, why didn't you tell me about the Holy Spirit?" He was so upset with this guy that he didn't tell him about the Holy Spirit. He was in his class all the time, and I was like quite challenged, and this guy was very challenged. He thought, oh, he better start telling people, you know, the fullness of God, because this guy was so upset. He said, why didn't you tell me in my first year that I needed the Holy Spirit? And obviously, you know, his eyes weren't open at the time, so. But it challenged me, and I realized that, you know, we must understand the fullness that God has for us. I don't want to come to the end of my life and think, oh, shucks, Lord, I thought this was my inheritance, but, you know, you had so much more for me. Imagine coming to the end of your life and thinking that you know the fullness of God, thinking that you've walked in this inheritance that God has for you, and you realize there's so much more, and God's showing you, but this is what I had for you. This is what I had for you on this earth. And you'll be like that guy Vessel saying to people around you, or saying to, you know, to the church or whoever, why didn't you tell me about the inheritance that God has for me? Why didn't you tell me? So tonight, I don't want to be that guy that gets told, why didn't you tell me the fullness of God, okay? And I don't know the fullness of God. I know God in part. I still have lots to learn. But I trust that tonight you'll be inspired to seek more of God, to want more of God, not to be at a place of discontentment. It's always out of a place of peace, always out of a place of contentment, but to say, Lord, there's more. You want to show me. You want to help me to grow. Amen. So are you guys ready for that? Are you ready to dig into the Lord and to get more of His inheritance? I trust you are, because I'm excited about where God is going. I can just see God is moving. Any of you heard about the story of the pearl necklace? The little girl, I think her name was Jenny. I don't know if it's a true story or not, but it's an awesome illustration. She so badly wanted a pearl necklace. So she went to the shop with her mom one day, and she saw there on the shop was on the shelf was this pearl necklace, and her mommy said to her, "No, but it's too expensive. So you'll have to save up. So you must get yourself an extra job or something, and maybe your granny will bless you at Christmas, and then you can pay for this pearl necklace." It wasn't that expensive, but she kind of just told her daughter, "You know, I think it's time for you to save up. I'm not just going to buy this for you." But she really wanted it, and so she saved up, and she did all the stuff that she needed to do to get the money, and her granny blessed her, and then she got this pearl necklace, and she loved it. She worshipped this thing. She used to go to bed with it. She didn't take it off. It was just amazing. And then the one night her daddy came to read her a story, and she asked her, he said, "Jenny, do you love me?" And she said, "Of course, Daddy, you know that I love you." Then you know, Daddy said, "But then give me the necklace." So Jenny said, "No, please, just you can take my doll, you can take anything There's lots of stuff, but please, not my necklace. And Daddy said, okay, good night, Jenny. Sleep well. See you in the morning. Next night, same thing. Read the story, and then after says, Jenny, do you love me? And Daddy says, Jenny says, yes, Daddy, you know I love you. She says, give me the necklace then. No, Daddy, you can take this and this and this. There's lots of stuff. Please, rather take that. Daddy said, no, it's okay. Sleep well. See you in the morning. And on the third night, the daddy comes in, and you see she's like quivering, and she's really, really teary and almost crying, and she like slowly gives this necklace to her daddy. And as she gives this necklace to her daddy, daddy takes out this beautiful velvet box with the real pearls in it. Not the pearls from the shelf, from a shop. Real, pure pearls in a necklace. Gives it to Jenny. And that's what I believe. That story is just an illustration of many times we hold on to stuff. And God wants to give us the real thing. God wants to give us the full inheritance. But I believe there's an exchange that needs to happen. I believe we need to be like Jenny and give the stuff that we're holding on to, give the stuff that gives us our security and our identity and life many times, and our joy for the real joy, the real inheritance, the full inheritance. John chapter 1, from verse 12 to 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, I believe an inheritance is something that is given or passed down to you, but you don't actually deserve it. But because you're a son or a grandson, or because you're an heir to the throne, you know, to the inheritance, you actually are automatically eligible for it. You automatically, in a way, deserve it, but yet you don't deserve. And that's the inheritance that we have as children of God. In Christ Jesus, we have an inheritance. He has given us the right to become children of God. We don't have the right. Amen. We don't have the right to be children of God because we're sinners. Hello? We're not cool, you know. We're not so cool as we think. But he gives us the right to become children of God. And many times, there's this glorious and this rich inheritance, and you know, we just don't take hold of it. Don't take hold of it in Christ Jesus. Anyone know about the story of the prodigal son? Anyone read Luke chapter 15? The prodigal son story. It's a beautiful story, a story of an inheritance. There was inheritance that was claimed. But the younger son said, Father, give me everything. Give me my inheritance. I deserve this. And he was very bold and he asked for his inheritance. And guess what? He thought he had everything. He thought, I've arrived, you know. I've got all the money. The world is my oyster. You know, I can go overseas. I can do everything. I am the man. You know, you get to that place and you think, I deserve this inheritance. And the sad part of that story is that he thought he had his inheritance. Meanwhile, didn't have a clue. It wasn't his true inheritance. Because it says, the Bible says that he was dying of hunger. He was at this place where he was so hungry. And that's when he started to realize this is not his inheritance. Because he has wasted it. And you know, I believe in our lives, if we don't claim our full inheritance, if we don't, like that song goes, if we don't take hold of it, you know, take hold of the joy, take hold of the fact that we're children of God, take hold of everything that means, take hold of freedom, take hold of life, take hold of healing. If we don't take hold of it, we're going to be perishing with hunger. Amen. We're going to, at this desperate place where we're eating pigs, feeding the pigs and eating the pods with the pigs. It's not a nice place to be. When you think you've got an inheritance, but you haven't got your true inheritance. The great thing about the story is that he comes to himself and he realizes, you know what? My father's slaves, even they have got food to eat. They have got blessings upon blessings. They have got abundance. What am I doing here? I've wasted my life. I thought I had my inheritance, but it just doesn't compare. And he came back. The good news is he came back to his father's house. And what did his father give him? His father gave him his true inheritance. He said, you're my child, but you know what? I'm giving you all the authority that I have. I'm giving you the robe of righteousness. I clothe you with the knowledge again. And he's just affirming him. He says, you are my son. You're righteous. I've forgiven you. Gives him the ring of authority, saying everything that I can stamp, all the stuff, all the money that I have, it's yours. And then he says, I'm putting sandals on your feet. I'm giving you a destiny. I've got a purpose and a cause for you to live for. And then what does he do? I think the word joy came out quite a lot tonight, eh, Yanni? We're praying for the joy of the Lord is our strength. There was a joyful party. He threw this incredible party for his son. Everyone was involved. Except the older son. He wasn't involved. And he could have been involved. He could have shared in the joy, but he didn't because he was a slave. He was a son, but yet he was an orphan. Didn't believe that he was also... Well, he thought, where's my inheritance? And the father says, you've been with me all the time. He has your inheritance too. And this is also part of your inheritance. This party that I'm throwing, this joy, it's part of your inheritance. Amen. But some of us are walking around as slaves. Some of us are like the older son. Some of us are like the younger son who need to come back. I need to humble ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm living in a partial inheritance. I'm living in what I think is just money and just stuff that will help me to survive, to make it through life. Meanwhile, it's not the fullness that you have for me. I want that. Children of God. I want to ask you this evening, you know, are you living as a child of God? Galatians 4:7 says we're no longer slaves. But we are children of God, and therefore if we are children, we are heirs. Amen, not heirs. The Afrikaners think it's heirs, you know. H-E-I-R, heir. You're an heir to the throne, together with Christ. Amen. You're a child of the living God. It's the most awesome privilege. Ezekiel 36. The prophet speaks of the time to come when Israel will be given no longer the law, but a new way of life. And he says, this is what's coming. I'm going to give you a new heart and I'm going to put a new spirit within you. The Father God speaking to his people Israel and saying, I'm going to take you out of this mess that you're in. I'm going to give you a new heart and a new life. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you. Isn't that an incredible inheritance, guys? Where God says, I'm going to put my spirit within you. And you know what happens when the Spirit of God comes in us? Read the rest there. You will walk in my statutes. No more law, no more legal stuff, no more have to do. Let's tick the boxes. There's a desire in you to walk in the statutes of God. And you will keep my judgments. You will do them. Anyone want to do the will of God? Yeah? It's not about trying and striving and hoping and wishing to do the will of God. It's about being filled with the Holy Spirit and saying, I'm going to do the will of God. Then you shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Isn't that an incredible inheritance? Where God puts his spirit within us and he causes us to walk in the ways that he wants us to. Amen. This is freeing for me. This is a life for me. This is where God is more committed to us than we are to him, you know. And it's important to be committed to God, to give your life to the Lord and to give everything for him. But I want to say tonight, it's not about how good you are. Amen. That's good news for us. To know that it's not up to us. It's primarily up to God. He puts his spirit within us. He makes us walk in his ways. He causes us to want to obey him. Amen. Anyone want to obey the Lord? Yeah. God is causing you to want to obey him. So give him the glory. Hallelujah. Don't say, I'm such a cool person. I'm so obedient. I'm so cool. God is causing you to obey him. Amen. God is more committed to us than we can ever be to him. He always makes a way. Kaylee, are you enjoying it? Kaylee, are you going to be obedient? I'm glad some people get excited. Just shake somebody next to you and say, God is stirring in this place. Because some people are even laughing. There's a joy, you know. I've got this joy in my soul. Yes. I think, Yanni, you need to come and sing like what Clint September, he was a pastor in Durban a couple of years ago, last year, and he's moved now back to the Cape and stuff. And he asked Yanni to go. Were you guys here in that service last year sometime? asked Yanni to sing about the fire. Dancing in the fire. Yes. He told me on Facebook his life was changed in that service. For some, he sent me this message. He said, you know what? I want to come to Bloom again because I had an encounter with the Lord. I had a burning bush experience that day in church. He was preaching both services, but he was saved again. He said he met Jesus again. So awesome, eh? People must come to this church. Amen? They'll be saved. They'll have the fire of God, the passion of God. Just shake somebody next to you and say, I'm following Jesus. We're only getting started, yeah, guys. We're getting excited, eh? Inheritance. God has got an inheritance for us. It's His inheritance, amen? It's not ours, but He gives it to us. Privilege. We must be thankful. God is teaching me lots of thanksgiving. I can get critical and negative many times, but God is telling us all to be thankful for what He's doing. Matthew 16:16-19. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is when Jesus says to His disciples, "Who do you say I am?" In fact, first of all, who do people say that I am? And they said, "No, some say a prophet, some say Elijah, some say, you know." But then Jesus says, "But let's get to you. Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says the following. He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." An incredible revelation. He says, Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." You see, Paul prayed for the Ephesians. He says, "I pray for revelation," because when we get revelation, when our eyes start to open and we see the fullness of God, you know what? We're blessed. Amen? We like Peter. We're blessed. And Jesus said, "Peter, or Simon, you are no longer Peter." Because then in verse 18 he says, "I also say to you that you are no longer Simon. You are Peter. You're a rock. And on this rock," and it's, the rock is not talking about Peter, because some doctrines say no, but you know, the Roman Catholic Church is built on the rock of Peter, and he was the first Pope and whatever, you know, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, on this rock, the rock, the revelation that you have received is an awesome, steadfast revelation. It will never fade. Because Christ is the Son of the living God. Jesus is the Savior. And He says, "I will build my church. The gates of hell, of Hades, shall not prevail." But then He says the following. He says to Peter, and I believe this is for each of us. He's telling each of one of us, because we are part of His church. Amen. We are living in the legacy of Peter and the guys that started the Christian church many years ago. We are living in the same legacy, and He's giving us the keys of the kingdom. Amen. He says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom." And you know what? Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Part of our inheritance, guys, is the keys of the kingdom of God. We need keys. Amen. And I just want to mention some of these keys this evening. But the Lord reminded me again of the story of Caleb and Joshua in Numbers chapter 13. Moses sent out 12 spies to go into the promised land, not to go in, but to look at the promised land. And two of the 12 came back with a positive report. Two of the 12 came back with faith. The other 10 said, "Oh, these monsters are too big. The fruit is awesome," because they brought back the fruit. And they said, "You know what? This looks like God. It's a promised land. I'm sure God's going to take us to this, because I want this fruit. I want this. But you know, the giants are too big." And they confessed that we are like grasshoppers in their sight. They were so fearful. And I'm sure those monsters looked scary. I'm sure those giants looked scary. But Joshua and Caleb, they had a different spirit. Amen. The Bible says they had a different spirit. And I believe God wants to give us a different spirit. They came back and they said, "You know what? If God said this, we're going to do this. I know my God." How does that song go? It's with my God, you know, I can scale a wall or something, climb mountains, whatever, with my God. They said, with our God, we can do all things. All things are possible, especially, or not especially, but only when God says so. Amen? We can't just say all things are possible, you know, let's just have a miracle, because all things are not possible. All things are possible when God says so. Amen? And so these guys came back and they had a different spirit. And God said to Moses, "You and all these people will die in the desert. Just two people will go in and their families. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of another guy." His name's a bit difficult to remember. Don't call your people these weird names, your children, you know. Call your children Matthew and Caitlin and Nathan. You know, those are cool names. Our inheritance, guys, is to know the voice of God. Because God said to Moses, Moses, I'm giving you this land. And Joshua and Caleb heard that. And they said to the people that God said we're going to have this land. So I think we should go now. Caleb said, right now we can go into this promised land. Let's do it now. He must have been a passionate guy. He must have been like a, you know, let's not think about anything else. Let's just go. And they wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. But you see, we can know God's voice, guys. We can embrace God's promises. What are the promises that God has given you, and are you embracing them? Or do you let fear and doubt and unbelief and all the other stuff get in the way of the promises that God has for you? Because that's what Joshua and Caleb did. They knew the inheritance was theirs. God had said his people are going to go into the promised land, and they wanted it. Are you embracing the promises of God in your life? We're talking here about the keys of the kingdom. You see, the Bible says that Isaac was a son of promise. Ishmael was a son of the flesh. He was a good idea. I love Joyce Meyer. I watched one of Joyce Meyer's programs the other day, and she said, you know, when we don't know God's promises, when we're not too sure of what God has said, then we start to come up with what's called these good ideas. Hey? Anyone had these bright ideas? That probably, hey, this sounds like a good idea. And so, you know, that's what Sarah said. It's a good idea that Abraham just sleeps with his maidservant and have a son, and that'll be my son. A nice good idea. Giving birth to Ishmaels, if we have good ideas. I'm not saying all good ideas are not from God. I'm just saying that when we start to make plans and when we start to say, ooh, I'm not sure if God has spoken to me now, so let's start to give birth to an Ishmael. Yeah. Let's not work on good ideas. Amen. Let's work on God ideas. Tell somebody next to you, let's hear the God ideas. Because then it's not an idea. God isn't into ideas. He's into vision. He's into promise. Amen? Son of a promise. God's got promises for us, guys. God has got promises for us as a church. He's got promises for you. He's got promises for a husband and a wife. I just want to say that. Put that out there. Ladies, some people are stressing. Men, I got married at 30. God's got promises. Eh? And my wife is just, I fall in love more and more with her. She's just incredible. I was away. I mean, she was away. I was with the kids this weekend, three of them alone with me. So I'm like more in love with my wife than ever before, okay? After a weekend with the kids alone, you know. I appreciate my wife, okay? But God has got promises for us. Then living by faith. That's what Joshua and Caleb did. They lived by faith. They lived by the voice of God. And it's the same as what I've just said. Hearing the voice of God, knowing His voice, first of all. There are lots of other voices. We must know, what is God's voice? What is God's promise? Is it your promise? Is it a hopeful thing? Or is it really what God said to you? And then we can live by faith, because we know if God said something, you know, that settles it. If God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Smith Wigglesworth, he was a man of faith. Raised people from the dead, healed guys. And there's this place of strength and courage, which some of you showed tonight by stepping out, saying, God, I want to be bold for you. And you call me, I'm saying yes. Anyone had a defining moment in your life that you'll never forget? A moment where someone or something happened and you just know it was God? Anyone had that? I was telling the guys on Saturday night at the men's camp, I had a moment like that. God reminded me of this in this last while. I went to high school. I went to another school in Port Elizabeth. You know, the good school there in Port Elizabeth. the other gray, okay. Well done to Boys Eye. Huh? Boys Eye beat Gray yesterday. Huh? That's amazing. Some people are excited. I'm looking forward to the Gray versus Gray clash. Eh? Gray PE's got a chance this year against Gray Bloom. They're not looking the best team. But anyway, so I went to the other Gray. I was sent to that school for one reason. I didn't know it at the time, but I was sent to meet Jesus Christ. But when I, you know, my parents gave me this incredible choice. Would you like to go, you know, to the school? No, not really. Okay, but you're going to the school, you know. You know, your parents give you these choices, like we do to our kids now. When the kids are small, you know, you don't give them too much choices, but you just make them feel like they've got a choice. So I was given this choice to go to Port Elizabeth from Graaffreinet. It's 300 k's away. It's quite far. So I was given this choice to go to the school, but I didn't really have a choice because, you know, my dad went there, my grandfather went there, and, you know, it's a thing. It's a legacy thing. But anyway, so I went, and praise the Lord I went, because I met Jesus a year after I'd been there, or a year into my when I was 15 years old. But anyway, so I went to the school, and I'll never forget the moment when my mother and father had to say goodbye to me now, okay? Because the people said, listen, yeah, welcome to high school. You're going to see us more than you're going to see your parents. So say bye to your parents, you know. It's like, whoa, for a little boy from the farm, that's crazy, you know. That's scary. So now it's time to say goodbye. We're sitting in the car. It's just me and my mom and dad, and I can see my mother's crying, and I'm like thinking, yes, I'm so shy now. I don't want to cry. I want to be brave, you know. People mustn't see I'm crying, but I'm like really almost in tears, and I'm sitting in the back of the car, and I'm thinking, I've got to make a choice now. Either I've got to stay here and just say, Mom and Dad, I don't want to go, and I refuse, and let's go back to the farm, or I must get out this car now, and I must just go. But I was like, really, I was so fearful of just what was coming, and my mom's crying, and my dad just gets out the door, and he sort of, I just realized this is my moment now. I've got to get out. I don't, you know, I have a choice here. But I'm so full of fear, and I'm walking, and I'm so afraid, and my dad walks with me, and I'm walking up the stairs, and I just look back at him, a last goodbye, and he just says to me, Fassbait. But with this incredible authority, and I look back at him, and I just knew this is God speaking to me. I didn't know it at the time, but when I think back on that moment, it was a defining moment in my life. It was a moment where the Lord spoke into me strength and courage. The Lord spoke faith into me through my dad. He's not even saved. I pray for him. He's going to still get saved. I really believe it. But he's an awesome guy. He's an awesome man. I look up to him. He's got the father heart. He said to me, you're going to do this. So many things. And I just turned around and it was like my high school career has just started. Met Jesus a year later. The Lord's hand was upon me. But there was strength and courage spoken into my life. It's a defining moment in my life. And you know, for us as grown up, when I look back, I think, you know, the fears are just different. The fears are still there. A little standard six boy, there's lots of fears going through your mind. But you know, when you grow up, the fears are still there. Fears are just different until someone comes and speaks into your life. You're an overcomer. You're going to do this. Someone who's got Christ in them. And if Christ himself does it, even better. But Christ sometimes uses people, and often he uses people. Because we're not supposed to be on our own. We're not supposed to have an individual, a relationship with the Lord on our own. We're supposed to be encouraged by fellow brothers and sisters. Amen. You know, encouragement speaks of speaking courage into someone. Encouragement. Speaking courage and strength into someone's life. That's what my dad did. He simply just encouraged me and said, I believe in you. I've sent you to the school. You're going to do it. And it set me on God. You know, I got 3 colors awards at the end. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying it's all glory to God. I got colors for academics, for athletics and cross country. I got the Oxford Award, which was some kind of award for all round stuff, you know, for living a balanced life. So praise Jesus that I didn't get too academic or too into sport. I wasn't into the social and drinking and smoking thing then. The Lord saved me. I was focused. I was very serious. Okay. The guys thought I was crazy. But the Lord came through in my life because there was strength and courage spoken into my life. The keys of the kingdom, living by faith. Then the last thing is God has called us to be a prophetic voice, to speak when we need to speak. Amen. The prophetic seems like this weird thing out there, but the prophetic is simply speaking the will of God into being. And I'm trusting the Lord that some of our mouths need to be loosened. Our tongues need to be loosened. We need to speak with boldness the will of God. Into your life, you need to do it into your own life, but then you must start to do it in your class. Don't do it out loud when the lecturer's trying to lecture. But start to pray and start to be the voice and say, Lord, I claim this class for you. Lord, I claim this family for you. I claim this faculty and this workplace for you. Lord, I claim this sports team for you. Whatever it is. The prophetic voice speaking the will of God into being. It's part of our inheritance, guys. We need to say, Lord, loosen my tongue. Give me boldness. That's what we've been called to do, is to speak. It's part of the keys of the kingdom. It says that I will just go back one. You will, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And that's why we pray. That's why we intercede. Because we're going to start to bind things in the spirit. We're going to start to speak the will of God into being. Some people are, and that's another teaching on its own. Some people are kings. They declare and they proclaim stuff. Some are priests. They stand in the gap. Some are prophets. They say, this is what God, there's a warning. God is here. God is saying this. But whatever, you need to be a prophet in terms of the will of God. What is the will of God? And let's enforce the will of God. It's a part of our inheritance. Amen. And sometimes we just settle for, oh, the devil's over us and this is too hard. There's too much religion. There's too many challenges. There's too many giants. So we'll give up praying. But I believe the Lord is, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro over all the earth, looking for people of faith. People who know His voice and want to do His will. Amen. Last one. Psalm 2 verse 8. 7 to 8. I will declare the decree. The Father speaking here to Jesus. And the Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. You know, it's the same for us. If you're a son of God, this is the word for you. The Lord has said to me, you are my son, you're my daughter. You are begotten of God. You're not begotten of the flesh. Even if you are maybe, even if you think you were a mistake and your parents just had sexual intercourse and you weren't planned and you weren't supposed to be here. You know what? If you're born again, that's why we need to be born again. We're born of the will of God. You're not a mistake. God has got a plan for your life. But when you're begotten of God, when you know that you're begotten of God, you know what? There's an inheritance for you. Amen. Can I have an amen? There's an inheritance for you when you're begotten of God. And He says the following to His son Jesus. And Jesus says the same thing to us. He says, ask of me. I will give you the nations. It's part of our inheritance, guys. You know what the nations represents? We think, oh, it's out there. Jacobus, you can have the nations. You just go to the Himalayas and you go out there. Let's, you know, the nations are so far out there. The nations is not about far out there. It's about every single person. Amen. Black, white, colored, Indian, whatever. There's people in this nation that are from different tribes and different cultures. There's different types of Afrikaans people. There's different types of English people. There's all people. We can be a blessing to every single person. Amen. That's the nations. Sometimes we think it's so pie in the sky. But when you meet a stranger on the street, you know what? He's part of the nations. That person or her is part of, and we can be a blessing to them. We can tell them the good news of Jesus. Not one person is out of reach of Christ. Amen. We must start getting excited about the people we see. We must see people differently. They are God's people. They just don't know it yet. But someone must tell them. Amen. Someone must tell them the good news that Jesus loves them and he's not turned his back on them. He's got a plan for their lives. We must start to ask and then to go to the nations. And it's the same with Joshua. You know, Joshua was given a territory. God said, Joshua, be strong and of good courage. This is what I'm giving you. I'm giving you the land. And he gave him a specific territory. He says, this is your territory. This is what I want from you. And for us, it's the same. There's a territory God has for us. There's a workplace. There's a classroom. There's a neighborhood. There's a house where you're in with living with unbelievers, whatever. Or people that are just not on fire for the Lord. You know, they are our inheritance. They are part of all the people in the world. God wants us to ask for people. God wants us to ask for souls and ask for the nations. And then when we start to reach Bloemfontein and the Free State and the nation of South Africa and Africa, then, you know, the nation, we must do both. We must do the nations far away and close by. There's townships over here. There's people. This morning, you know, we're having church in Caramello's coffee shop in Pretty Gardens, 6:15 till 6:45 in the morning. This morning, I was again, and just a few people, there's about 10 or so people, hungry for the Lord. So encouraged, and God's, you know, been really stirring people, and I'm just so encouraged by these people's hunger for the Lord. And we trust in God to reach lots of other people, to take church out of church, you know, take church to the people. And, you know, it's just facilitation, it's just asking a few questions and praying for people. God wants us to take church out of church. Facilitate groups. Have small groups. Have discipleship groups. Start to reach people. Start to get people hungry for the Lord. Amen. And God said to Joshua, I want to give you this territory. And God is telling each of you now, if you're a Joshua, if you have a different spirit, if you're a man and a woman of faith, God is going to start to speak to you about the inheritance that He has for you. The territory that He has for you. The people that is on His heart that you can reach. And your testimony is so powerful. Amen. Your testimony can change someone else's life because they can deny Jesus and deny the church and deny everything. But you are real. You are standing before them, a changed person. So they can deny as much as they can. But if you start to say, God has changed my life, and you're real about it, don't try to put on a face. If you're struggling, say, I'm struggling, because Angus Buchan says it so beautifully. You know, I'm just one hungry beggar telling another hungry beggar where to get food. I'm still a hungry beggar. I still need Jesus, but Jesus has shown me where I can get food. Jesus has shown me his love for me. The ends of the earth for our possession. What is the territory that God wants you to ask for? And it's all for his glory. Amen. What prevents us from taking hold of our inheritance? I just jotted down a few things here, which I believe can many times keep us back from our inheritance. The first thing is pride. A lack of humility and transparency. You know, sometimes we say we're these cool Christians, all sorted and we're fine. You know, everything's going well. Meanwhile, inside you're dying. Just tell yourself that, tell someone that, and tell God that. God, I humble myself now. It's not all cool. I've sinned. I repent. I humble myself. Otherwise, we're going to always think we are fine, and meanwhile, we are not. And God's saying, I can't work with you. There's stuff I want to sort out in your life, but you think you're fine. And pride prevents us. God says he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I don't know about you, I want grace from God. Amen. We need grace to have our inheritance, to walk in our inheritance. We need grace upon grace upon grace. But God says, if you're proud, I can't work with you. It's not like God's changed. That's just who he is. He's God, and we need to humble ourselves before him. So pride is something that can stand in the way. Then, secondly, fear, doubt, unbelief. And it simply comes from a lack of faith, a lack of understanding God's promises and embracing his promises, knowing what he said to us. And it ultimately comes from a lack of love. God's perfect love for us casts out all fear. Amen. God's love for you casts out fear in your life. It casts doubt out and unbelief out. It stirs faith. When you realize how much God loves you and just the presence of his spirit in you, it brings joy. It brings an overcoming spirit. Amen. A different spirit. Then number three is disobedience. I said it's just simply a lack of willingness. Because many times we're disobedient because we're not really willing. You know, it's easy. If we're not willing, then it's easy just to be disobedient because I'm not really keen for this. We must ask the Lord to give us a willingness. In Psalm somewhere it says, I think it's 110, Psalm 110 somewhere it says, my people will be volunteers in the day of my power. My people will be willing to serve me, willing to follow me, willing to go the extra mile for me. See, obedience opens the door to spiritual authority. Pastor C, I said it on the camp. Obedience gives an authority in our lives. It gives us spiritual authority. But when we're disobedient, we cannot walk in that fullness. God always, and just a tip for you guys. God speaks to us when we're obedient. You know, the last time God speaks to us is our last step of obedience. God cannot speak to us about new stuff if we're not obedient about the old stuff. Amen. So if the Lord is speaking to you about something in your life, think about it now. What is the Lord challenging you to do? Then first do that. God can't tell you more stuff, because why is he going to tell you more stuff if you're not doing that which he's already told you? Okay, and so that's how relationship with the Lord works. And sometimes we need to say, God, what is my last step of obedience? And then we repent of it and we say, Lord, I'm sorry, because I want you to speak. I want you to show me awesome things, but there's a block. I've found in my life there's been a ceiling. There's a block in my life when the Lord... You know, when God has told me something and I'm not doing it, and then I'm like wanting more revelation, and the Lord says, that's your last revelation. Just do it. And that's what Paul prays to these guys. And he says, I want you to open up your eyes. I want you to see more and more, but you need to be obedient to that which he's already shown you. And then lastly, apathy or passivity. It's simply a lack of desire or passion. Why? Mainly because of a hardened heart. That's what the Bible says. He gives us his spirit to take out that heart of stone, that hardened heart. He gives us his spirit to soften our hearts. But it starts with humility. It starts with faith. It starts with just obedience in the simple things. Last scripture, and then we're just going to pray. Philippians 3. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Paul says, yeah, listen, yeah, I've got a thick CV. My CV speaks of incredible stuff. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm of the Benjamites. I'm persecuted the church. That's how zealous I am. I'm passionate. But you know what? My CV and all the things I've done, I count them loss. I count them as rubbish. simply to know Christ. And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. Once again there, humility, coming in that place of saying, the robe of righteousness that the prodigal son received, he received it after he had to really be humbled. He was at the end of his life. He had to come back and realize, you know what, I don't even want to be a servant in my, I don't even want to be a son. I just want to be a slave in my Father's house. Came to that place of humility, where it's not his own righteousness, but that which is from Christ. Through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So tonight we're going to take communion. The ushers can actually start handing out the elements now already. We're going to just renew our covenant with the Lord again. Renew our relationship with Him. Amen. And renew our faith in Him. This is basics, guys. This is just the basics of the gospel. You know. But I love the basics. Sometimes we want these great things out there, and we're up there and out there. And God says, I've got an inheritance for you. You're a child of God. And to know me is ultimately what you need. To know Christ, and then the inheritance will come. Then the keys to the kingdom will come. Then the nations will come. You know, we'll start to disciple many people. But it starts with that place of knowing Christ. It starts with that place where we realize our righteousness is not in ourselves. It's in Christ Jesus through faith. God is looking for faith here this evening. And out of that place of faith stirs joy, stirs hope. Stirs love, stirs the fruits of the Spirit. So I'm trusting the Lord. I'm like the Apostle Paul. I'm praying for each of you to really have the eyes of your understanding enlightened. And I need it myself. We all need our eyes to open. And it's just so awesome. Our God moves, you know, He doesn't need my sermon because He's already started to move in lives here this evening. He's already started to say, listen, I want your full heart. I want everything. Because I have got an inheritance for you, but it's time to make an exchange. Give your old heart to me. Give your hardened heart to me. Give your the old pearls. You know, they bought with money. Temporary value. But I want to give you pearls. I want to give you the pearl of great price. The pearl of Jesus Christ. It's eternal value. God wants to give you guys eternal stuff this evening. Amen. It's eternal stuff. And inheritance, money-wise, is just going to be lost. Amen. The prodigal son saw that. The prodigal son saw that, you know, I'm going to spend all my money and then it's gone. But the good news this evening is that the inheritance in Christ Jesus is eternal. It can be lost, but it's not like the inheritance will be lost. It's just that you are lost. And I am lost many times. But Christ is not lost. Eternity is never lost. But tonight, God wants us to come back to that place of eternity again. Place of Christ in us, the hope of glory, Christ in us, the inheritance for the world, the stuff must come out. Amen. I really believe if God is so full, if we are so full of God and full of Christ, you know, Christ will not limit Himself to your life. He will come out. I saw it in my own life. I could never testify, but until Christ filled me with His Spirit, you know, I'm a shy person. I don't like lots of people, but you know, when Christ comes in me, man, I'm drawn to people. I want to speak to lots of people. Whoever's sitting next to me on the plane, you know, my wife, she just looks the other way. Because whoever's sitting next to me on an airplane, they're going to know something about Christ. Amen? Or on a bus, you know, when you sit on a bus, you've got lots of time, you know. That's great. We should organize bus trips, you know. Let's just go and testify at a bus, you know. 9 hours, 10 hours, we can disciple someone into eternity, okay? But when Christ is in you, when He's filled your life, you know, He comes up. Amen. Not your own stuff and your own worries and your fears. Yes, we all have struggles. Life's not perfect. But when Christ is in you, He comes out. More than your own stuff comes out. He fills your life. So let's all stand this evening. The band can come forward. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you that you are the hope of glory in our lives. We thank you that you are the inheritance that we ultimately long for and desire for, Lord. This evening, God, we thank you for the good work that you have started in our lives. Lord, we like the Ephesians tonight where we've started this journey with Christ. We've started, Lord, this love for you and the love for the saints. Lord, that's why we're here tonight, because we believe in church. We believe in the fellowship of the unashamed bride of Christ. But Lord, we also realize that we like those Ephesians where Paul says that I want your eyes to be opened even more. I want you to see the glorious inheritance God has for you. And Lord, this evening we respond to that in our hearts. We thank you for an incredible inheritance, Lord. Incredible inheritance that you have for each of us, Lord. But tonight we come to this place of humility, God. We realize that many times we're just settling for second best, Lord. We're settling just for half measure. We're settling for just survival, Lord. But tonight we thank you. We thank you for your inheritance, Lord. It's yours, but you've given it to us, Jesus. And we receive it in our hearts. We receive it tonight, Lord. As we take of this body and the blood of yours, Lord, we're reminded again of this incredible, incredible, precious gift that's found in Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit, I just welcome you here to just touch hearts, Lord, to move hearts, to stir hearts. Thank you, Jesus. We want you, Lord. We want more of you. Not more stuff and programs and all sorts of things, Lord. We want you, Jesus, to take over our lives. So Lord, I ask you to do this in each one of our lives.